Welcome everyone to episode 213 of the Reds Unrestricted podcast. I'm your host David Comerford and I'm joined by Jamie Barton to reflect on Liverpool's 2-0 defeat to Everton in the Premier League.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
That is it really for Liverpool style hooks, I have to say, and the Jürgen Klopp era is petering out in rather pitiful fashion. They've lost at Goodison Park for the first time in 13 years, I think. And Jürgen Klopp's last Merseyside derby ends in defeat. Jarrod Branthwaite got the opening goal in the first half, and then Dominic Calvert-Lewin made it 2-0. And it felt like one of those nights where Liverpool were never really going to go on and score. It felt like they could have played, you know, as people say, they could have played the extra 90 minutes and they wouldn't have scored. To me, it felt like if you put the Liverpool players in an 11 against 0 situation, they wouldn't have scored because they would have passed and someone would have been offside and just something like that. It just had that feel about it tonight, unfortunately. And I think for this episode, we won't try and do the usual sort of structure that we do. It'll be a little bit more of a kind of raw post-match feeling, to be completely honest, because we are literally recording within sort of, you know, not too long of the final whistle. But yeah, I mean, the reality here, Jamie, is that, you know, Man United first and now Everton have played a role in sort of burying Liverpool's title ambitions, and that whether we like it or not, and despite the gulf in quality between Liverpool and those teams this season, that's something that is going to be part of history now, and it's something that we're just going to have to live with as Liverpool fans.
Yeah, it is. It feels raw now. My mind kind of goes back to seasons past where we've had poor results at Goodison. Maybe not quite this close to the end of the season, but feeling like it's in a sort of run-in. But no doubt this feels worse than any of them, and obviously the loss contributes to that. It's difficult to kind of form coherent thoughts on the game. I just thought we were rubbish, really, from start to finish. I thought it was the same old mistakes in both boxes. I'm sure we'll get on to talk a bit more about what on earth happened for the 90 minutes or the 100 minutes. But yeah, just it's over. And as you say, the fact that it's Man United who maybe started off this period of malaise, and Everton who feel like they've kind of finally put us out of our misery. So that hurts a bit more than it would otherwise. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, let me reiterate what I said. I think it was myself and Mark after the defeat against Crystal Palace. You know, Liverpool were hugely overachieving by being in this title race. You know, most people had them third or fourth. Some people, you know, a decent amount of people probably had them missing out on the top four altogether, obviously, as they did last year. Rebuild in the summer, all of that. You know, no one expected Liverpool to be in this position. I don't think it's a failure for them not to win the title. That's why I don't have too much sort of anger towards the players or anything like that, to the extent that I would be entitled to feel that anyway, just, you know, watching from the couch or whatever. But despite all of that, and despite the fact that, you know, the bottom line is that Liverpool, we can't rewrite history, Liverpool aren't and weren't good enough to win the Premier League this season. You can't kind of deny how painful it is for Jürgen Klopp's tenure to end in this fashion. And, you know, you'd like to think that Liverpool go on now and pick up a couple more wins for the end of the season. And to be fair, I think they probably will. And it just sort of finish in third. That would, you know, I think, again, a lot of people would have thought of that as a decent season at the start. But yeah, just it's hard to see how they sort of capture any sort of joy now from the end of Jürgen Klopp's tenure and what that sort of last game of the season will be like. It'll be difficult to sort of summon up the positive emotions for it. So yeah, I mean, just the way that it's ending, and I kind of recall what Jamie Carragher said recently about how Jürgen Klopp leaving has just really just changed the timeline completely with this season. You know, it should have been that next year or maybe the season after was when this Liverpool team was at its best and maybe in a position to be favourites for the title. But, you know, it's all just come too soon. And I think it was you and me on a podcast, Jamie, I'm not entirely sure. Not long after the news about Klopp came out, and I sort of made the point that I thought the emotions would get too much as Liverpool team with trying to deliver that title for Klopp. And yeah, it just feels like that in combination with a whole host of other factors has sort of contributed to this unraveling that we're seeing in these final weeks of the season. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the game. I suppose we have to. For me, it was just kind of everything that Everton needed to win the game. All those ingredients were there on the night. I mean, how did you see it in terms of what went wrong? It's one of them where it's literally every single facet of a football match that you need to win. I just think Liverpool delivered in any of those categories.
Yeah, I thought they were quite kind of clearly better in both boxes. If we were doing a kind of three-word sum up on the game, I think neither of us are really in the head space to be doing that. But I was going to go with same old mistakes, and I think that kind of sums it up pretty well. For me, I thought, I was surprised to see our XG was so much more than theirs. I don't know if XG philosophy is an amazing barometer to go off that, but they have Everton at 1.3 and us at 2.43. So that's close to kind of double their XG. And it didn't feel like that to me. I know we missed some good chances, but there were no kind of glaring kind of... It wasn't like Crystal Palace where it felt like the ball just wasn't crossing the line. I know Neville was calling Nunez's a horror miss, and I think that seems to just be Neville kind of getting into his Nevilleing that he likes to do. And fair play to him. I mean, Man United struggled to beat Sheffield United, so he's got to take the joy where he can get and all of that. I've gone a little off tangent on tangent. I thought they were smarter as well, Everton. Look, the referee was conned, frankly. He didn't have his best game, but he wasn't as bad as Liverpool, so we'll let him off on that. But they were winning free kicks. Obviously, the first comes from a foul, in inverted commas, by Jones that quite clearly obviously wasn't a foul. But that's what you got to do. And no shame on Everton. I'm not criticising them for doing that. They played well. They managed to kind of maximise their chances of getting a result by getting so many set pieces. And look, I think there was a stat that, I think it was the first seven set pieces of theirs into our box. Everton got the first touch to each of those, and that's just not good enough. Like they have not had an amazing amount of time to prepare for this game, but they will have surely been doing set pieces because that's the only kind of realistic way that you can think of Everton getting a goal is going to be from a set piece. They're not a team with pace who are going to hit you on the counter particularly well. So that was poor. That was very poor that we were so inept in terms of defending set pieces. We looked nervous. I think the first goal comes from a Konate toe poke where McAllister's waiting behind him just to hoof the ball away. I think if we're one up or we haven't had the kind of period that we've been going through recently, I think maybe Konate takes a touch and just kind of shepherds that out of defence, or McAllister's emboldened enough to give a shout and Konate leaves it. So just as you say, it all went their way in and not in terms of a kind of luck perspective. Obviously, they couldn't control how bad our finishing was, so that's maybe one element. But they were smarter, they were more clinical, and they were more solid defensively. So fair play. Don't want to give it to them, but they deserve to win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, growing up in Liverpool and sort of the debates with Everton fans down the years, I mean, I'm just glad that I'm not in school anymore, because the idea of having to go in tomorrow, to be honest, not even just tomorrow, the you know, Liverpool supporting kids now are going to spend the rest of their school lives hearing about this, no matter what happens, because that's what Everton fans are like, let's be honest. But, you know, I won't sort of begrudge them it, because they deserve to win the game, and obviously their fans have suffered a lot. And it's obviously been so long since they last beat Liverpool at home, and last beat them with obviously fans there to see it as well, because it was obviously behind closed doors at Anfield when they won. And yeah, I think we've all got Everton fans that, you know, we do actually quite like. And I suppose, you know, for them, at least they'll get to sort of enjoy it, as much as that's not really a for consolation. But yeah, I don't feel any sort of anger beyond, you know, to be honest, anger is not really one of the emotions I feel. It's just completely dejected and deflated, to be honest. And there's no really any ill will towards Everton on my part. It's just more the, I suppose, the time and this being the fixture that kind of is the nail in the coffin is horrible from the Premier League script writers, however you want to call it. But yeah, I just think in terms of tonight, I mean, I sort of tweeted about this, like every sort of ingredient, you know, if you're an Everton fan coming into that game and sort of think to yourself, you know, what do we need to win this match? I think set pieces would have been a huge one. Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp have been a brilliant set-piece defending team, up there near the top in terms of fewest conceded. That tonight was one of the worst I've seen from not only Liverpool, but any team in the Premier League recently. It was an absolute horror show. They got completely and utterly bullied and literally, you know, fell right into Everton's trap repeatedly. And, you know, for Calvert-Lewin, a player who's been on the end of a lot of criticism of Everton fans this season, to dominate Liverpool in the fashion that he did tonight, I mean, that is a sickener. Liverpool centre-backs and for their whole team, to be honest, and obviously getting that goal as well. Beyond the set pieces, I think, you know, what you said, Jamie, was spot on. You know, the crowd got on top of Liverpool, the occasion kind of got on top of Liverpool, used that kind of Goodison factor, and they did that as well, in terms of Liverpool making sloppy errors. I mean, the one that really gets me is before the second goal, Virgil van Dijk heads the ball down to Mohamed Salah and he just completely miskicks it. It happened with Robertson, I think, in the box and at the other end of the pitch and a couple of other players as well. And it was a trend against Crystal Palace as well. And that, for me, is why I think there might be something mental going on with some of these players and the pressure of the situation at the moment, because just basic kind of technical football and things. And, you know, let's be honest, that ball gets headed down to me in that centre circle. I'm probably adopting the fetal position and just praying Van Dijk and Alisson save me. So, like, I, you know, it's easy for me to criticise, but for these players and the level that they're at, I think, you know, it's incredibly frustrating to watch. So that was a factor. I think, obviously, Everton defended well for large periods of the game as well. Liverpool played into the hand sometimes at the decisions that they were making. You know, the shape was good, well set up, all the things like that. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, Jamie, you know, there is a bit of luck, but when you've got an Everton team who are so far off Liverpool, you are going to need that. And that's just the reality. And ultimately, Liverpool made their luck for them by not taking their opportunities, to be honest. So that for me, was kind of what explained the defeat here. And obviously now it's sort of down to City versus Arsenal in the title race. And I just have this thought now, Jamie, that City are going to end up dropping points, whether it's tomorrow or...
I saw your tweet just before this one. Yeah, no, yeah. That really would be a kick in the teeth.
Definitely. And I just think, you know, maybe there's one more knife still to be twisted the way things are going at the moment. Liverpool, to be honest, they've got a decent gap, so we don't need to get dramatic or anything like that, but they just need to make sure that they, you know, stay on the boil here and pick up the probably 4 points, you'd imagine, roughly, that they need now to just comfortably finishing those Champions League places. Because again, that, if you'd said to most Liverpool fans at the start of the season, you know, I mean, maybe they'd want the Europa League thrown into the equation, but if you'd said to most Liverpool fans, you finish third in the league, you win the League Cup, and they obviously think Klopp's going to be there the season after, I think a lot of Liverpool fans would have been tempted to sort of shake on that, whether privately or publicly. But you can't divorce that sort of season from everything that's gone on around it. I mean, how do you kind of, I mean, I've got a few sort of hot takes I want to reel off before we finish, Jamie, with it being sort of so soon after the match. But I mean, how do you see sort of the end of this season now for Liverpool after this? Because it's going to be hard for the players to motivate themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it will. And the fear is that historically we've seen seasons where the players realise it's not going to happen, i.e. we're not going to win the league. And the drop-off has been quite spectacular. I think back to, just last season, really. The players realised, I think, pretty soon on that it wasn't going to happen. And I think that was behind such a big drop-off. You think of the COVID season, the last time we got beat by Everton. the players realize around February or March, whenever the kind of run of six losses at Anfield in a row, players realize it's not going to happen, and again they struggle to find the motivation. You hope that the difference now is that they're essentially playing for the kind of the manager's send off period, and it's difficult because we're emotional right now, but I think a win against Wolves on the final day is so important, and I think they will want to give that to him. It kind of reminds me a little bit of when we lifted the league title in the home game against Chelsea behind closed doors. The league had been won for a long time then, and we'd gone on a bit of a slump in terms of performances and results, but we were able to pick ourselves up for that one, and we put in a really good performance that night because it was the night that we lifted the trophy, and I think that was important to the players to show themselves on that night. And I think what you hope you see is certainly in that Wolves game, but hopefully for some other games this season, that they are able to kind of motivate themselves and keep going. It's not just about the players though, it's about the manager as well. And I think it was very wise what Klopp said when he announced his departure, about it's better to leave maybe a little bit too soon than a little bit too late. And the fear is that it felt too soon then. And I'm not saying it feels too late now for us, because obviously given the option, I'm pretty sure we'd all bite whoever's offering's hand off for Klopp to stay another year or something like that. So this isn't from a fan perspective. But you do have to wonder on nights like these what he's thinking right now, whether he's getting home after all of this and just thinking, God, I could do without this. Just give me a little bit of a break. And maybe that's the cynic in me. I don't know. Maybe that's how I would treat it, and that's why I'm not a hugely successful Liverpool manager. Because I have a loser's mentality, maybe. But I would forgive him if he felt at the end of this period that it just all got a little too much and a little too exhausting. So I think they will all want to go out on a high, obviously. That's obvious. But I do think that they will be able to kind of muster the energy just to kind of, I don't know, it's not many games, four games now. They can win three of those four, including the one on the final day, and I'll be all right. I'm not all right now, but I'll be all right then.
Yeah, I think it's just a shame that we're going to have the kind of melancholic gratitude at the end of the season for Klopp, really. Like, it's not like a lot of the positive feeling is going to be sort of surrounding like what Klopp's done in the past, and obviously rightfully so, as opposed to what we kind of immediately witnessed. And that is going to kind of dampen things, whether it's, you know, the last home game or the event that they're going to hold, the parade, whatever it might be, for Klopp. And then that documentary that we're all obviously going to watch, that they're releasing, which I, every time I remember it exists now, I'm just like, oh God, why have they done that? But yeah, I mean, Just a few thoughts then before we finish. I don't think things have aligned for Liverpool fully in this Jurgen Klopp era. I think obviously when they were best is when we were in the midst of a global pandemic. That makes every single thing that's happened afterwards hurt a lot more, including this season. I think that obviously in terms of when Klopp's going as well, like I said earlier, it's not the perfect time. To be honest, I'm surprised that now is when he's kind of run out of steam, but I can't begrudge it. It's just a shame that he's not kind of around to see what feels like this Liverpool 2.0 project through. So it just feels like things haven't quite lined up perfectly for Liverpool, but can't complain too much. You know, we've seen Liverpool win everything, obviously. I also think that there has been this underlying thing in Klopp's era in terms of people are going to call it like, what could have been, maybe people throw the word, you know, nearly man around. That's obviously ridiculous. Klopp's, you know, like I just said, has won everything. And it's still one of the greatest managerial tenures we've ever seen in English football, without doubt. But I do think that there have been moments in his tenure where, and comparing it to the teams who have won more in this period, like Man City, Real Madrid, or Liverpool, have lacked that sort of killer edge, that ice in the veins. I'd like to think that in the future we can combine kind of the sort of the heart and the passion that this Jurgen Klopp era has been partly built on, with maybe a little bit more of that sort of venom in these moments. Reminds me of that Logan Roy quote from the last season of Succession, where he says, I don't know if it's the last season actually, but he's like, "You're not a killer, you have to be a killer." And it's just popped into my head a few times. And I know it's insufferable to reference that. But yeah, it's just, yeah, I can't help but think that it actually applies quite well sometimes, because you watch Man City, and even when they're not playing at their best, like they have done at times this season, they do seem like killers. I don't know if Liverpool have been that enough. Again, obviously, we're just, you know, long after the final whistle, so maybe I'll retract this. But and then the other thing I'd say, I mean, I'll give you the final word in a second, Jamie, but, you know, Darwin Nunez, two seasons now, I think 85 million, he's been a disappointment. You know, the moments tonight where he's in front of goal, he's got no confidence in him to score whatsoever, and that's not good enough. And I just wonder if all these narratives around, here's all these brilliant things he's doing that aren't scoring goals, we're going to look back and think, maybe we were overanalyzing things a little bit there. And I was guilty of that myself, obviously. And I don't want to just scapegoat him. But they were obviously, the front three were the ones who fluffed their lines for the most part in the box. And just to prove that I am being fair and not just singling Nunez, I'll pick out one of the best Liverpool players ever, Mohamed Salah, miles off it again tonight. I said on a previous podcast that I do think he's carrying a fitness issue, so I'm not going to criticise him too harshly, because that for me is the only reason I can explain his sort of him being a non-factor in the end of this Premier League title race. But every game that goes by at the moment, if there isn't a fitness issue at play, and with complete silence on the contract front, I think with the right offer, Mohamed Salah might leave this summer. And I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of other huge names in the squad went as well. I think people, there's a lot of talk about new manager coming in and that's going to be the focus. But I do wonder if people are underestimating the extent of the change we're going to see in terms of the playing personnel again as well, and how much of a reset will be pushed in the summer. So we're definitely watching the end of something at the moment. So yeah, final word to you then, Jamie. I mean, just whatever you kind of feel in terms of your final reflections, whether it's about tonight, the title race, or looking forward to the future.
Let's look forward, because what we've just experienced, I think we don't need to look too much back on. But I do completely agree in terms of there's going to be some surprises this summer in terms of personnel. And I don't mean that Salah's been kind of, obviously he hasn't gone, but he's been kind of rumoured for a while. I think there'll be someone who no one expected to leave. I think they will leave this summer, whether that's because they've been a stalwart in this team for years, or whether that's because it's someone we've signed very recently. I think there will be at least one name who is very surprising for them to drop out. But look, I wish the season had gone the other way around, in a way. I wish that that Darwin Nunez was scoring two goals away at Newcastle in the 36th game of the season rather than the third game of the season. I wish that everything that was happening now was a slow start attributed to players bedding in and kind of that transition period, and that we were racing into next season on a great run like we've had at various points this season. That obviously hasn't been the case, but it doesn't mean that there's not reason to be optimistic for whatever happens next. the great thing about football is you can be an eternal optimist, and a lot of the time there's no good reason to be, and there might not be a good reason to be right now, but guarantee that first game of preseason where some random guy I've never heard of right now scores twice against some team I've never heard of right now, I'll be excited for the next season. And it doesn't matter whether our manager's bald or it's someone who I've never heard of, I'll be optimistic. And that is stupid, but football's stupid, so we move.
Yeah, I think football's stupid is it probably a good way to sign off for tonight. Thanks very much, Jamie, for jumping on. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. We'll be here with you through until the end of this season. Obviously, however it pans out, and hopefully there are still one or two positives that we can draw from these final few games after what is obviously a pretty historic defeat tonight for Liverpool in terms of how much it's going to hurt, I suppose. But yeah, if you have somehow managed to enjoy this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. Remember to follow the podcast, press the notification button as well. Mine and Jamie's Twitter username during the episode description, as is the podcast email address. But yeah, the post West Ham episode probably won't come out until Monday next week, so just to flag up a little bit of a delay with that one. But yeah, like I say, we will be covering all the remaining games this season, and then obviously what myself and Jamie have touched on there in terms of it being a very busy and potentially transformative summer at Anfield as well. So make sure you stick with us for that. But until the next episode, take care.